You may remember that I accidentally delivered my first daughter. And just recently, Tessa accidentally delivered our second. You know, raising kids is crazy enough by itself, but somehow Tessa and I have found creative ways to make our lives even more surprising. This is the 5 a.m. Miracle, episode number 426. Another wild birth story and finding balance in a growing family with Tessa Sanders. Good morning, I am Jeff Sanders, and this is the podcast dedicated to dominating your day before breakfast. Hey, welcome back to the 5 a.m. Miracle Studios. I am here with my wife, Tessa, once again. Welcome back, Tessa.
Hi, everybody.
You know, the last time that you were here, we had this little banter back and forth about how awkward you think these little introductions are. So any change to that, or
no,
you feel the same way?
It's just weird when you say hello to me, like we're not like in the house together.
Which we are. And right now, it's all the time, 24/7.
Yes. I mean, I'm usually not in here in your like studio area.
True.
Right now we have Benny here and Rosie. And me.
That's right. Our new daughter, Rosie, which is the topic of today's conversation. Yeah, she's in here with us, along with our sleeping dog, Benny. They're both taking little naps right now right next to us. So we're going to cross our fingers that they stay quiet. That's the plan.
If you hear grunting or snoring, it's not me.
It might be you. I don't know.
It's one of them.
It's hard to say. Our lack of sleep might be snoring
right.
Either way. Well, great. I'm excited to chat with you today because this is a topic that I kind of primed on social media about 2 months ago where I was hinting that there was an interesting story with the birth of Rosie because we had a very interesting story with the birth of our first daughter, Maisie, 3.5 years ago. And so this is way back episode number 255 of this podcast and 256. We did a back-to-back series talking about our fertility journey with IVF and then the kind of interesting birth story with Maisie. So I'll just recap that just for a second. But if you want to go back and listen to those, the full episodes, you'll get the whole story. And it's fun. But in a nutshell, Tessa and I did IVF. And so we did a lengthy process to get pregnant. And then once Maisie actually came to term, it was 2.5 weeks early. We were caught off guard. We went to a midwife center here near Nashville. And ultimately, Tessa delivered Maisie before our midwife even arrived, so I caught Maisie, and then she was born and healthy and happy, and it surprised us both. I think that was what happened.
I mean, we had definitely been planning. We were planning to go to the midwife center. That wasn't like a spur-of-the-moment decision
Very
or anything.
True.
But I had it in my head that first-time moms tended to give birth after their due dates.
Right.
So I don't know where I got that idea. I was thinking like, I'm going to be pregnant for like another month, maybe a month and a half. And so when she came, I was like, oh, we are not like exactly ready.
Yeah, we were very caught off guard the day of, which made the whole thing, I think, just an extra level of stress and extra anxiety around like what happens now.
In terms of like supplies, like we still needed like,
yeah,
when I went into labor,
stuff, yes.
I was like, go to the grocery store. We need this and this and this and this. We had a whole list.
Right.
We just hadn't gotten around to getting it yet.
Right. So yeah, that was kind of a wild experience, but everything kind of smoothed over after that. And Maisie has been a wonderful part of our family for the last, you know, 3.5 years. You know, Rosie's been a little loud here and here in the background. So then let's fast forward to what happened for us about a year ago. We went through the fertility treatment process again to get pregnant the second time.
It was a bit easier this time because we already had the eggs frozen. So we only sort of went through the part that comes after that. So that was not quite as long.
A lot fewer appointments and a lot less money and a lot less kind of, I mean, we had done the process before. So I felt a lot more confident that this process would work. It would be successful. It wouldn't require too many new surprises. I think that was true for that process this time around.
Yeah, definitely. We knew what to expect and it all rolled out fairly smoothly. We were planning to start a month earlier and we had a snowstorm,
right.
Which is rare in Nashville, but the way our neighborhood is set up, when it snows, you can't really get in or out of the neighborhood.
No, so we were stuck.
We were definitely stuck. And with IVF, everything has to be timed perfectly.
Yes.
With like your biological cycle and all that sort of stuff. So
right.
We actually had to push it back a month because we were snowed in.
Yeah, we missed the appointment, and so we had to postpone. But it worked out, and so we did, yeah, the IVF process, got pregnant, and then we had Rosie's pregnancy, which built all the way up into the holiday season of 2021. So can you walk us through kind of your preparation this time for being pregnant, round number two, and the hypnosis that you did, and how that compared to me the first round with Maisie?
Yeah, so the first time with Maisie, like halfway through the pregnancy, I realized like, oh, I don't think I really want to have a hospital birth. I don't want to be in this birth center. We were at the time working with a birth center that was associated with a pretty big hospital. You can hear all about that. I think we talked about that in those other episodes. But at a, you know, about halfway through, I decided to sort of switch tracks and go more of like a midwife hypnosis route. This time I knew that from the get-go. I knew I was going to do the hypnosis. I knew I was going to do a midwife. And so I had that sort of planned out the whole time. We did decide to do the home birth here at our house instead of going to the midwife center at the farm. Partly because the Maisie's birth was so fast.
Well, and the drive for us to get from our house to the midwife center we used the first time is an hour and a half drive, which I did with you in labor next to me for Maisie, which was, oh man, I'm very glad we avoided that again.
Yeah, I think that was actually your call mostly. Like when we were talking early on about like, should we do it again? Are we going to do it the same way? I think you were like, let's not do the...
Well, the only other option is that it's called the farm, which is the midwife center we used. And they do allow you to come in early and just stay there for a few weeks prior to the birth. And we had that choice, but it was just with work schedules, it didn't seem to make sense to just kind of be off the grid that far.
Well, and this year we have a 3.5-year-old. So right. There's
That's partly why.
And with COVID, we were not exactly sure, like, were they still going to be like,
right,
were there going to be different protocols in place, or was it going to be as easy to come, you know, early and just sort of camp out, or what was going on? And it being the winter, we didn't know what the weather was going to be like. So there were a variety of reasons we decided not to go to the farm. I kind of did want to go back there.
Well, of course, it's a great place. But the alternative was a birth actually in our house, which we're obviously very comfortable here. And this is a place where I know you personally like your pillows and your blankets. And like, it's a nice, cozy place for you to have, you know, a birth.
And I knew I really wanted to have this baby in like a very calm environment with, you know, low lights and not a lot of people and be very calm. And so I decided to do the hypnosis thing again. I used the HypnoBabies program. I think there are a few different hypnosis programs out there, but the one I used was called HypnoBabies. And it worked so well with Maisie, I decided to just do it again. It's sort of like a 6-week program, or like sort of like courses that you would go through. We didn't go to classes this time, but I followed the sort of protocol, and you learn these different hypnosis tracks and how to put yourself into hypnosis, and different cue words. And there's positive affirmations around positive childbirth experiences and stuff like that. So leading up to the birth, I spent a lot of time practicing my hypnosis and relearning that skill, which I had kind of gotten out of after Maisie was born.
Well, and it is a skill, and one that once you review it, it seemed to come back pretty naturally. And you were practicing that every single day for what, over a month?
Yeah. Definitely. I think it was like 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It's one of those things kind of like stretching your muscles. Like when you stop doing it, it goes back. And so I really wanted to just know that when the time comes, I can put myself into a real deep state of relaxation and calm and peace so that I can have this baby in that environment. So I really just made sure that I was able to do that when the time came.
So I kind of prepped this episode with the title of it being a wild birth story. And what I said online was this was a very unique experience. And so I want to get to the actual delivery of Rosie, because this one was, though similar to Maisie's, was different. So walk us through what happened the morning of December the 16th.
So at about 3:00 in the morning, I think, I got up to go to the bathroom, which when you're in late stages of pregnancy, that's happening all the time. So that wasn't anything new or unique. But at that time I was like, oh, I think my water broke, but I wasn't sure. It wasn't like this big gush in the middle of the mall like you see on movies. So I wasn't exactly sure if I was going into labor, and I tried to go back to sleep a little bit. But I was awake with anticipation, like, is this really, am I going into labor? I don't know. So I was kind of wired at 3 o'clock in the morning. And so I decided to get up and like get a snack. I don't know. I did a relaxation hypnosis track to kind of get myself in the mode. And thinking, you know, if this isn't really labor, then I'll just be really relaxed and I'll go back to bed. And if this is labor, then I will be in a relaxed state and I'll be able to more easily get into that self-hypnosis state that I'm hoping to be in for the birth. So after I did that, I was fairly confident that I was in labor, but I was so sort of relaxed and still sort of in like a sleep-like state. hi, Rosie.
Hey, Rosie.
So then at about 4:30, 4:45, I was like, okay, I think this is labor. So I like brushed my teeth. I put some makeup on and I decided to wake Jeff up. You know, it was close to 5 and I was like, he's going to be waking up anyway, but I just wanted to make sure he had plenty of time to like do all his morning routine things and make coffee and get snacks or whatever. I don't know what all you do in the morning, but it seems like a complicated process. So in my mind, I was like, okay, this is going to give him plenty of time to like get up. Maybe we'll take Maisie to daycare. She was still sleeping at the time. And I'll like go through some of these other hypnosis tracks that I sort of have on standby.
This podcast is all about productivity. And one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas. And with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook is available now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. It's full of specific how-to advice and action steps to help you wake up early, dominate your day, and achieve your life's grandest goals. It's 4 hours of energy-packed audio that's read by me, and the audiobook walks you step-by-step through the 5 a.m. Blueprint, which is my 7-step productivity framework. You will learn how to set your grandest goals, craft clear boundaries around your work, optimize your ideal week, and discover what the pros do to get the most out of their day. Just visit 5ambook.com to get your copy of the 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook today. Once again, that's 5ambook.com. So at that point, it was about, 4:45, and you woke me up and told me it's time. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to get up right now. It's not time for that. Like, what are you talking about? And then realized, it's time. Like, there's a baby coming, which really, I mean, I went from this expecting myself to be as calm as you are, but I didn't do those hypnosis tracks. So in that moment, you told me it was time. Like, my stress level skyrocketed instantly, which I don't want to be that guy. I wasn't planning to be that guy, but just that was, I didn't prepare the way that you did because I'm not delivering the baby. Yet I was going to be like your support partner in this process. And I, looking back at it, I should have done more work on my part to be more ready for that moment. Not that I was panicking or freaking out, but I just feel like I could have been a little more, I don't know, in the moment as opposed to how I reacted, but that's another story.
Well, I think as the mom, you're always thinking like, okay, when this happens, like, what's it going to be like? What am I going to do? What am I going to, and I'm sure you did that a little bit, but probably not as much as a pregnant woman, you know?
Right. Right. So it was about 5 o'clock then. At that point, I had already texted the midwife and told her you were in labor and that we were preparing for her to come over as soon as possible, because at that point, I'm assuming we'll probably have another fast labor, but didn't know the speed. And our midwife was like, well, get back to me when her contractions are a lot closer together. And so that's when we started to time them. So walk us through how you were timing them, if you were even doing that at that point.
So before I woke you up, I thought I had a contraction.
Right.
And then I didn't have another one for like 30 or 45 minutes. I'm like, okay, maybe that wasn't one. And then right after I woke you up, I had another one. And I was like, oh, I think this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into the bathroom to labor in there for a little while. And then the next one came like much quicker. And I was like, okay, I need to figure out how far apart these are, but I couldn't really tell.
So then I tried to time them and I was able to calculate a 4 minute time frame. So I texted the midwife and said, we're 4 minutes apart. And she said, okay, I'm on my way.
And we knew with Maisie, the midwife didn't arrive on time or in time. So we
even
were
though
like,
she was literally down the street.
So we were like, we should probably get the midwife here like sooner. The midwife knew this. She had planned to like come quickly. And even at that time, you were like, should I call the midwife? And I was like, no.
Right. You tried to hold me off on
it. I was like, I just want to do this by myself, like as long as possible. And like, it's probably going to be, even if it's fast, it's probably going to be like a few more hours anyway. So let's just like wait.
Right.
But apparently you did not listen to that.
No, I overrode you and told the midwife, like, it's a good time to come. And she was already on board with that. So at that point, then you stayed laboring by yourself in the bathroom. And I went to the kitchen to finish my morning routine and make a coffee and get myself ready to go. So we just had a tech glitch. So we're coming back in after a slight delay. So whatever we were just saying, I think I already forgot what it was. But we're in the middle of a really important part of this story. So yes. I want to be sure we tell this right. So to back this up just for a second to get our own bearings, the midwife is on her way. You're laboring in the bathroom by yourself. We timed it 4 minute contractions. And I went to go get my coffee and get myself prepped, assuming that the delivery was coming pretty soon.
Yeah. And so I'm in the bathroom, which is, you know, decorated very cute. It's got lots of like flowery stuff and there's like soft cushions and towels. It's, you know, it sounds weird to be in a bathroom, but I like the bathroom.
Well, it's a comfortable place. And, you know, for a laboring position with your body, it fits.
Yeah. So I was like sitting upright on the toilet and not, you know, laying down like they would have you maybe in a hospital or something like that. Just finding a position that was comfortable for me. I was just trying to really focus on being relaxed and calm and just letting my body do what it knew how to do. And I was also sort of in the back of my head thinking like, how far apart are these contractions? But I was in this self-hypnosis, like a hypnotic state. And so during that time, I think you sort of disassociate a bit. So I wasn't exactly sure about like how much time is happening and like how long it's been since the last one. I was really just trying to like let things happen really naturally and not overthink it too much. And so while I was doing that, the baby just sort of came out. It kind of surprised me because I didn't realize I was that far into the delivery process or the laboring process or whatever.
And at this moment, it was exactly 5:30 a.m. So just to highlight this, it was our own 5 a.m. miracle. And this is only 2.5 hours after you woke up.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially your water broke at that point. But the actual laboring process really didn't start until around 5 a.m.
Right.
So it was about a 30-minute process.
Yeah, maybe and 45 minutes at the most.
Maybe 45. And at the time that this was taking place, that you were catching your own baby, I was making a coffee and I was like in my head thinking like, stay calm, don't freak out, things are going to be good. But I didn't know what was going on. And so I just kind of casually walked into the bedroom and I heard you yelling my name and I was like, oh, I missed it. I knew it was like intuitively something just happened. And I think there's a baby there. And there was.
Was it just your daddy's sense or was it my voice or why?
It was your voice. I got the real sense that like either I missed it or it's happening right now. And I missed it. So that was what took place.
So he walks in and I'm just holding this baby, just like it, very similar to like we did at the farm, except I caught her instead of him. And then again, we're just sort of sitting here waiting for the midwife to come taking pictures.
Right. So we spent, I don't know, half an hour just hanging out with the baby, taking photos, chilling out on the bed at that point, and waiting. And it was, that entire process was fairly calm and chill, and Rosie was healthy, and things were good.
And Maisie was still sleeping.
So that whole thing was a wonderful little morning. And the midwife arrived around 6 a.m. And then you would take the story from there?
Sure.
Rosie is grunting loudly.
So the midwife shows up and she starts to help with like the post-birth stuff. And she realizes pretty quickly that things were not quite going like they were supposed to be going. If anyone is familiar with pregnancy related stuff, I had what's called a retained placenta. And so that is something that does need like hospital care. So the midwife really quickly sort of called the hospital or the ambulance or whoever, and they came and took me in. And Rosie got to stay here with Jeff for a little while, and then he sort of passed her off and came to be with me for a little while. And so for the few sort of days after the birth, there was a bit of like, you know, I'm in the hospital and Rosie's here and Jeff is kind of going back and forth. But really when I look back on it, you know, she was born at home, which is what I really wanted. She was right. Born in a calm environment. The midwife showed up when we needed her, and she made the judgment call and the, you know, used her expertise to decide what kind of care we needed.
And for you, the retained placenta is a very rare thing to happen. It's extremely remote. And so it just...
I had heard about it before. I knew that it was one of those things that like sometimes pregnant women...
It can happen.
You know, just have this thing. I didn't think it was going to happen to me. But, you know, as with any kind of pregnancy and delivery, every pregnancy has that possibility, I guess. So it was... not my ideal plan to have to go to the hospital, but I, in a way, was happy that, you know, I did have this home birth. I think my hypnosis really worked, and I'm thankful for the midwife who showed up and was able to sort of intervene when needed.
Yeah, and then, I mean, the entire birthing process at home, and excluding the retained placenta, the actual birthing process was beautifully calm and simple. Like, everything about that was exactly as planned.
I think you hear, like, in movies and things like that, that you have to have someone to tell you when to push. And that, like, for some reason, women can't do this without somebody there yelling at them, like, push now.
I mean, the movie, like, the Hollywood version of birthing is so ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Because it's one specific vision, which is this is a chaotic moment. The mother is a victim to this horrendous event, and everyone has to yell at her. And that's the end of it. It's just an awful thing. It's just negative, negative energy being thrown at it. And our two experiences were like, no, it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah. My experience was that my body just sort of pushed the baby out, like, on its own time frame. I didn't even really realize that that was happening. Mm. In hindsight, I can look back and be like, oh, there was like this first part of labor that felt different from this later part of labor. But in the moment, like, I wasn't consciously being like, okay, get ready, and like push for five counts or whatever you kind of see on TV. My body just like did it.
Right.
And I think, you know, that's how I wanted it to go. I wanted to sort of be by myself in a very calm environment and just let my body do its thing. And so very happy that that came about. And I really attribute that to the hypnosis and also the support of a midwife who I think is, like I said, just a bit calmer about natural childbirth.
I mean, there is we actually saw a couple of doctors in the middle of the pregnancy, and to juxtapose just talking to those, you know, the OB and talking to our midwives, like, the energy is so different from people who approach these things, like the medical perspective versus the more natural perspective. They're both trying to get to the same end result, but the two paths just feel like night and day different to me.
And I think largely that's because midwives deal with normal, uncomplicated pregnancies.
Right.
Almost exclusively. If there's anything that's out of the norm,
correct,
you don't sort of get to have a home birth with a midwife. Your midwife can maybe come with you to the hospital, but, you know, you really think of home births as being for women who have very normal, uncomplicated pregnancies. And I think people in the hospital and OBs are tending to experience more emergency type situations. But even in that, I think there can be some calm in those things. They don't have to be sort of high stress,
right?
Energy. You can go about that sort of thing in a more calm way, I think. And that's really what I was hoping. I think, especially when I'm pregnant, I tend to be very susceptible to other people's energy. So if somebody around me is really stressed or is upset or is happy during pregnancy, I found that I would just sort of take that on. And so it was really important for me to be able to birth and deliver in an environment that was as calm as possible. And yeah, you were like a little high strung, but I'm used to that. And still you being here makes me feel, you know, comfortable and happy and safe, even if you're a little bit jacked up.
Well, it is incredible just to watch you go through that process. I can see you doing what you rehearsed. I can see you calming yourself in such a really phenomenal way, because you're able to take whatever's happening and just center your energy to remain calm and focused and then do your thing in a nice, beautiful, simple way. And it didn't require this extra level of stress or energy that was unneeded. You just gave it what it needed and that was the end. And it was, really beautifully simple in that sense.
Yeah. And I had sort of thought through, like, you know, if I need to have a hospital transfer, there's part of the HypnoBabies program that talks about that, like imagining what that might be like and how you might feel. And so I think the hypnosis even sort of supported me through the journey to the hospital to like be calm and collected.
Oh, completely. And, yes, yeah, it definitely did. This podcast is all about productivity, and one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas, and with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make a better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor. YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com. That's YahooFinance.com. If you're loving this podcast and would love to get exclusive bonus episodes of the 5 a.m. Miracle, as well as every episode 100% ad-free, you're going to love 5 a.m. Miracle Premium. By joining 5 a.m. Miracle Premium, you will get access to exclusive bonus episodes of this show, 100% ad-free content, early access to the latest episodes, exclusive access to the entire back catalog with over 400 episodes, as well as any other features that launch in the future. Now, in addition to all of that, you are supporting me and this podcast, which allows me to keep this show alive and making podcasts you love. To learn more and join today, simply go to 5ammiraclepremium.com. Once again, that's 5ammiraclepremium.com. So let's fast forward to life with two children. Part of the episode I wanted to discuss this week was what it means for growing a family, having what I kind of refer to as really utilizing your village to bring more kids into the world and support them in a healthy way. What's your experience been like in these first couple of months with two kids?
It's been a whirlwind. I mean, I think I hadn't planned or thought through this part as much. I mean, that's the thing about the HypnoBabies program is it's all about the lead up and the birthing. And then after that, I don't know, I guess I just hadn't like pictured it or planned for it in my head as much. But I think it's going fairly well. I can't help but compare this to the time, you know, the few weeks after Maisie was born.
Right.
And I think I'm definitely in a better emotional state now than I was then, probably because I'm sleeping a bit more.
Yes.
I'm not sleeping a whole lot, but much more than when Maisie was born. And I don't know if that's because she was born early, and so she really wasn't sleeping long stretches at all. Rosie's been a pretty good sleeper for her age, I think.
Yeah.
And so having, you know, just a little bit more sleep, I'm able to like cope a bit better. And also having Maisie around is kind of forces you to have some sense of normalcy and get back into the swing of things a bit quicker.
That's true. And also I think that Rosie, it was born, you know, as a full term baby. And to me, like, she is larger than what Maisie was at this stage. She seems to be developing a little faster. And this whole process of, you know, your maternity leave and this, you know, first couple of months of her life, it seems pretty straightforward to me. It seems like we're much more prepared for it. We had the systems, the resources. Of course, our grandparents all came in from every direction to stay with us for a while. And we really, I think it's been so much less stressful for me from that perspective, because the first time around, everything felt new. Everything felt stressful. Everything felt like, what's happening now? Where are we going now? And this time, and just even with a second, you know, kid in the house with Maisie here, it feels more chill to me than before.
Yeah, there's a lot less learning going on right now. Like, I feel like with Maisie, I was constantly like reading books and Googling things and trying to figure out, like, is this an emergency? Is she about to die? Is, you know, is something wrong with her arm or her leg or her eyes? Like all those sort of panic attacks I had with Maisie, I sort of now know, like, oh, it's normal for, you know, babies to go cross-eyed every now and then. It's not, that doesn't mean that like she's about to die from a brain tumor. And so things like that, that like really threw me off the first time around, I'm much more prepared for, I think. And so that's making things a lot less stressful.
Yeah. And we've got one of my cousins has a couple of young kids similar to the age of ours. And I feel like seeing what they've gone through and seeing what I have other friends with multiple children, and like, it's, there is a shift that takes place from the, you know, life before kids, life with one kids, and then like life with just a whole bunch of just children everywhere. And it becomes this like a whole new way of living. And I feel like, you know, as someone who works from home, there is a really bizarre balance of, now how do I address the things that matter and also be extremely flexible to what's taking place around me all the time, because every single moment is a little bit different than the next moment. And we're going through these like shifts on like every 30 minutes. It's like, okay, now where are we? Now what's the next thing to do? It's not as if I plan the whole week ahead of time and stick to my plan. Like, that's not a thing I'm doing right now, because it's not really possible.
Yeah. And I don't really like that. Like, I want a more structured day. I want to know, like, nap time is this time and lunch is at this time, and we can schedule a podcast interview at this time. And I know it's going to get there, but right now we're really in the state of flux where it's like, we're just sort of playing everything based around like Rosie's eating and napping. It's not even really a schedule, just whatever she's doing at that moment. I'm like, oh, she's calm now. Let's record this thing right now. So I'll be happy when we get to a bit more of a set schedule, but you know, she's what, 6 weeks old?
Like, right. And even last night, I was telling Tessa, I was like, okay, I want to do this interview with you at 9:30 a.m. And you looked at me and you're like, yeah, right.
Yeah,
that's not going to take place. Like,
almost 9 a.m.,
like,
right?
We'll get there when we get there. Like, what? It's 2:30 p.m. So we are 5 hours past my planned recording time. But that just, it got done. We're doing this recording. Mm-hmm. Like, things are happening. But at the same time, it's like, that's what this looks like, where there are a list of things I want to do. The exact order they get done in is totally up in the air. But as long as I'm centered on, this is what a productive day could look like, let me just tackle these things. When the right time shows up, I'll do it. And I feel like, even though I'm on a little less sleep and a little less, you know, diligent to the exact time frames, I'm still being productive. Life is still moving forward. Everyone's getting their needs met. It's just a different way to approach the day.
And I think we talked about this last time I was on the podcast, about a wellness first approach,
right,
or something like that. Is that what we're calling it? Wellness first or health first?
Health first is the one that I'm using. Yeah.
I think I identify more with wellness first.
Okay,
But you know, I think this time, like this morning, I was like, I need to sleep again. Like, I was up quite a few times last night. And so I need to sleep one more stretch before I can like speak coherently and be ready for the day. And so that's why you push things back. And I think for me to really say, like, I'm going to prioritize like my own sleep, so I don't get too far into this like sleep deprivation hole. I'm going to prioritize eating food.
Yes.
And, you know, certain needs that I have first, and then I'll start to check off the other things on my to-do list is a big difference from what I did with Maisie. I really wanted to get back into like my productive life. sooner with Maisie. And I think now, and I, like I said, we're only like 6 weeks in, but I'm still sort of trying to say like, what are my basic needs? Are they met? And let's take care of those first. And if I don't get anything else on my, you know, to-do list done, then like, I'll just bump it till tomorrow.
I mean, it's really like a practicality first perspective. It's like, do we need laundry? Do we need food? Do we need naps? Like, what is the thing we need now? And that's the focus. And then when those things are addressed, it's like, okay, now I can answer some emails. Now I can do some work at my job. But there's, it really is like the practical needs-based stuff first, which does make us healthier. It does make us happier. Like, it is helping us to flow through the season. I mean, no, we're not being as productive in that very traditional sense, but we are redefining productivity for this season of our lives, which is our kids are our first priority. And then our health is along with that, hopefully. But that's what this season is. And I think it's an interesting one because obviously as kids get older, there's a potential for things to get a little more chaotic. But I think that we are intentional with what we believe to be a good use of our time. And so I'm curious to see how it plays out long term. But I feel good right now. I'm hopeful for how this is all working.
Yeah. And like you mentioned earlier, it's been really wonderful to have the support of our family. Your parents yes. have been really helpful. Your cousin, my mom, you know, and dad have been really supportive throughout the process, whether it's actually coming here or, you know, spending time with one of the kids or helping us with what we need. It's been really, really nice to have them.
Certainly. I think it's a lot of fun to have kids, but you're kind of like, it's like writing a blank check in a sense of with your time. It's like, I don't know what I'm agreeing to
right.
up front. I'm just saying yes. And then we're going to just do it. We're going to get after it. And so part of that is the adventure of this whole thing. But at the same time, it's like now you kind of been through this a few times. It's like, yeah, this is manageable. This is not gonna kill us. It's not gonna drive us crazy. I mean, it will in short bursts.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's not gonna overall ruin our lives or anything.
Yeah, we have these little bursts of craziness or overwhelm or whatever, but they're countered with these little bursts of like beauty and like wonderful family time.
Yes.
When Maisie like holds Rosie, it's the cutest thing ever. and you know, I think that's what parenting is. It's this juxtaposition of like these stressful times or hard times with this like real beauty of like family time, which is really what we wanted when we set out to have another one.
Yeah. And we get both of those extremes every single day.
Yes.
Every hour. We get a lot of that. Great. Anything else you wanted to mention about birthing kids, raising families? I don't know. Anything else?
Well, our next big challenge for those of you who are out there listening is childcare.
Oh, I forgot to mention this earlier.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's our challenge for today, at least.
We just got an email yesterday telling us that our primary daycare we had set up for Rosie is not available for us for 6 more months past the time we needed to have them set up. So we all of a sudden were like, okay, let's scramble, renegotiate. We're now in contact with multiple other daycares. I think the soonest we can get Rosie in is in May, which is at least 2 months past what we had planned.
The systems here are tricky because there's these wait lists, but
yeah.
Everybody is on all the wait lists. So it's hard to know how many people are actually like in front of you on the wait list and then how many spots are really going to open up when. It's a real challenge here. And I don't know if that's just Nashville or if that's everywhere, but it just seems like there's not enough infant childcare spots available, which is a real bummer when I'm hoping to go back to work.
It does seem to open up as the kids get older. There's a lot more options, but that infant daycare, it is a tight squeeze to find a place to get into. And I may be a full-time podcaster / daddy / whatever I need to do coming up here very shortly beyond what's happening now. So, yeah, that's our next big adventure, you know, the next big thing. It's going to be fun.
Hopefully we'll find something good.
We'll find it. It'll all work out.
Yeah.
But if you're listening to this podcast and you happen to run a daycare in Nashville, let us know. I'd be happy to talk to you. Aside from that, Tessa, thank you very much for being on the show again. Yeah. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And for the action step this week, plan to be flexible. You know, if parenting has taught me anything, it's that I need to be ready for anything. So if your schedule is booked too tight, with little to no wiggle room for the unexpected, It's time to loosen your grip just a bit and build in time for the curveballs of life. Believe me, you're gonna need it. JeffSanders.com/426 is the place to go to get the episode notes. And of course, subscribe to this podcast. You can go to JeffSanders.com/subscribe to see a lot more apps available to listen to this show. Once again, that's JeffSanders.com/subscribe. And that's all I've got for you here on the 5 a.m. Miracle Podcast this week. Until next time, you have the power to change your life. And the fun begins bright and early. Hey, it's Jeff Sanders, and I'm here to tell you about Greg McKeown and his amazing show, The Greg McKeown Podcast, part of the Yap Media Network. Want to achieve more by doing less, all while avoiding burnout? You can design a life that really matters with Greg McKeown, author of New York Times bestsellers Effortless and Essentialism. His mission is to help you advocate and negotiate your way to remarkable results. Every Tuesday, Greg discusses one key topic he finds interesting and valuable through the lens of the essentialist. Every Thursday, he invites thought leaders, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and people like you for inspired weekly conversations focused on learning how to do what matters first and do less but better. His content will stir your thoughts and spark inspiration and action. And his British accents, well, that's just the cherry on top. Subscribe to the Greg McKeown Podcast today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.